Joining me in the studio is the treasurer for the Emergency Cold Weather Shelter, Kate McClellan, is here with us today. And Kate, thank you for being here. I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of what's going on over there.
Well, thank you for inviting us to participate and communicate what we're up to and what's going on.
So you're this new location. You've been there for a couple of years now. This is the third winter?
This is the third winter. We started in this. The pallet shelter model was developed by, you know, really nationally to respond to COVID when COVID prevented warming centers in church halls. So the pallet shelters, the Lane County bought the pallet shelters, allocated some to Florence. Florence has, allocated them to the Florence Emergency Cold Weather Shelter because that's the nonprofit organization that's had been running the warming centers since 2014.
You've found this winter to be a little bit more extreme than previous winters in recent years?
Yes. Well, it's certainly, it's an unusual winter where we have, weeks of in the 30s, if not 20s at night. That's unusual here for Florence. And it's certainly a dramatic change from 2022, where February was actually a mild and dry month. We had February's weather in April of 2022. So it is a bit of a shock, and it does take resources that perhaps weren't on board because it's hard to plan for the weather.
Right. And obviously it takes a toll on the volunteer pool as well, right?
Yes, it does, because we're open for a longer period of time. And we have our volunteer pool is in a couple of different categories. One is we provide breakfast and dinner for the guests at the shelter. And we are very fortunate that we had a secretary, Vicki Philbin, who did a great job of setting up our new website and our sign-up genius to help cooks who were volunteering to sign up to coordinate that more effectively. And just the people who have stepped up to cook has been very impressive. So that's one area, and I think that's actually working pretty well. Then we do need, we have other volunteer. We have to have on-site people as much as possible for supplies. We have an office pod that has the supplies in it, and the person has to have the key to that to provide supplies when needed, such as anything from garbage bags to first aid, right?
How many people are you seeing on average come to the shelter?
Well, we have 20 pods. Each of them have two bunks, so we have the capacity for 40 people. In general, we rarely reach 40, so it's been ranging from 30 to 35 this year. That is actually more than the last 2 years at the pallet shelter. So, certainly I don't know what the stats are for the warming centers prior to our pallet shelters, but that is a pretty high, volume of people.
And you were mentioning before that kind of the path to the pallet shelters was due to COVID.
Yes.
And so kind of got away from the churches being able to house people overnights. And then so this came to be. Now, you've been looking at this as you come on. And over the summer, do you guys have to get organized? Do you have to have meetings and stuff during the better weather to make sure that the winters go smoother?
Yes, that is certainly what's going to be a big push. We also, we have had some good support, not all financial, but also we need the political support and the support of the community from the city and the community to work effectively. We are operating under a conditional use permit from the city, and that's coming up for renewal. So that'll be part of the summer effort to work closely with the city, looking at different funding models, grant applications. We did get a grant from the Three Rivers Foundation, and that's been very helpful. So we're working on a number of areas. So funding, resources, organization, how we run the shelter, all of those things, a good lessons learned. That's what you need to do. Our operating period is probably like November 1st to maybe April 30th. And then that off season during the summer is when we'll be having regular meetings and also hoping that we can draw more people in. Some of the people who were very effective and active in the early years, now we're talking, it's a long time since 2014. So a lot of people age out of their participation. Right. So we're looking for new people to join us over the summer to prepare for next season. And we'll hope that the weather is kinder.
Where do you kind of pull from? Do you just get the word out and just people just volunteer and just come in? Or
We do have a website and a Facebook page that we post what we're doing. And we have quite a few followers on Facebook. I don't know how many of them
we'll turn into active volunteers.
My skill with Facebook stats is probably not very high, but yeah. So we're trying to get the information out about that it's available. And that we're trying to serve. There's a number of nonprofits that are trying to serve the people who are you know, for various reasons, have encountered really serious difficulties with housing and in some cases health. And sometimes that impacts housing is disabilities or other healthcare needs. So we're, you know, we're working hard to do that. And we also, of course, need to work hard to be good neighbors. You know, wherever we're located, now it's, you know, north of Fred Meyer's, we all always have neighbors of some kind. So we want to be good neighbors. We try to keep in touch with people. I know that everybody has a different opinion about what the homeless population, who it is, and but the bottom line is they're all part of our community. Everybody is part of our community, and to provide safety and well-being as much as possible. We are a cold weather shelter. I mean, technically not a homeless shelter.
Right.
That's a distinction, you know, an important distinction. They're different levels of service that you can provide.
And there's only a certain amount of days that they're available.
Right. We call it inclement weather, which is normally a combination of temperature, water, and wind. Because even if the temperature says 40, you have a wind chill factor it down to 30.
So it may not be the thermometer temperature that dictates when it'll be open.
Yes. Yeah. And then because you have the pallet shelters rather than a warming center, you know, if the temperature goes up a little, you don't necessarily close down for one night or something like that. That becomes complicated in a pallet shelter model. So we're working through all those transitional things from a warming center to a pallet shelter.
Now, the pallets provide escape from the wind and rain as well. How are they? Are they heated in any way?
Oh, yes, they have to be heated because they, without heat. So that we are very grateful to the city provided the electrification of the pallets in 2022. They arrived on site in late 2020. We were using generators through that winter, and it wasn't very effective. I think we maybe not get the right kind because you have to get the industrial style, not the home style.
Right.
So the city funded electrification of the site in 2022. So we've been using that. But the shelters, they're not insulated in any way. And of course, there's no fireplace or anything. So you have to have some kind of heat in there.
Now, they stay up all year round?
Yes, they're not. Physically, yeah, they're a prefab. They come, you know, they're called pallet shelters. They do come on a pallet, and they had to be constructed. But they don't. But it's not really like a tent, which is easy to take down and put up. So you wouldn't normally want to take them down, which means that, of course, you have to have security over the summer.
So what are your needs right now? I mean, obviously, like I said, it's been a rough winter. What kind of help could the community give now in order to kind of make things a little smoother, maybe a little easier?
Going forward, I think that, we always need money. And we also would like volunteer participation in the management as we go forward in the summer and work on these issues and work with the city. Then, of course, you know, political support in the sense that, you know, to the members of the community that do believe this is a valuable and important service to provide to our community, to step up and make that known, their support. So we always need that. Again, participation in the Florence Emergency Cold Weather Shelter Committee is the overarching management organization.
How do they get a hold of somebody if they want to?
Well, we do have a Facebook page and a website, and it has some contact information. We have an email, florenceemergencycold@gmail.com, and you can contact me, 541-305-5548.
And anything else you want folks to know before we let you go?
I think the main thing is to understand our common humanity. Having spent a lot of time at the shelter this year, I am new to the organization, but having spent a lot of time at the shelter, you know, the circumstances, and this is pretty well known, the circumstances that can lead to homelessness it's a huge variety, and it can be things that could happen to any of us. There's, you know, disability, medical conditions, financial, like a fire or, you know, in whatever your shelter, existing shelter is, there's a lot of circumstances, and it's often a point in time. Being homeless doesn't define a person for their entire life. So the idea here is that we're providing service to keep people from freezing to death, and so that they have a chance to move on. There's a lot of factors, and I think that seeing our common humanity is very important, I think, to how we want to move forward and how we want to operate.
Kate McClellan is the treasurer at the Florence Emergency Cold Weather Shelter. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
OPB has selected a new branch manager to start later this year. His name is Al Rojas. He will be joining us next on the March edition of Our Town.